this is basically a gentleman trying to disclose that. Let's just go right in. We won't blow the yellow. I think it's better to go right in the green, because it's an upstairs and we're sitting in time. Okay, because we want this to get over the reasonable time for this after breakfast tomorrow, 8:20.
We'll just move everything up broken.
15 minutes. Don't have any. I don't want any damn coverage of the toast.
Right.
No record, no recording.
They're just in 30
North Elton. I don't want anybody to feel that this is being done for any public purpose. So I just don't have any microphone on the table. This is a private dinner. I stopped. Has he been told there's a toast?
I'll have to check on the description. I think he expects it. General format of the White House here.
When they come in, we'll go directly to the green room. Understand? This is nothing upstairs. Then we might bring them to the upstairs. I will have a brief at the door, bringing directly out. And we'll, at the conclusion, we'll have the receiving room.
There you're going to receive right into the blue room as you went in from the green room into the blue room.
All right.
That's where the table's set up in the blue room.
We'll have coffee. And they will have that departed whenever they come in. No, after dinner.
Would you like to have front of the table? Perhaps it'll be the same.
I'm just telling you that.
circumstances, because they just, you know, gonna stay all night and get this tender offer, but it will be done.
What do they need, who's handling the repair business?
Corporate, generally interested.
Is he reasonable?
I think he is, I don't know, I've never paid, I was told it was supposed to be an improvement.
Yeah, he is.
I think he is.
Their environment is going, that's better.
Yeah, I don't wanna see me seeing those hogs, and Corporate's father is dean of the law school, I believe, in Michigan. And the young lawyer, one of ours, a brilliant young lawyer, Richard Keaton, whose father's dean of the University of Texas Law School. So they got along real well, and I can understand their lives, they just hear the greeting of it. But anyway, that's, that was the reason for it. But back on the trade thing, I was saying that you're gonna be pilloried here for, during this entire session, Carl Howard comes out and says, you know, what have you done for the poor people and so forth, and all the press is gonna pick this up, as you well know, and cut out all this trappings that were hung on this administration during the Kennedy Johnson years. I think you need, you're gonna need some new additions, to more or less capture the imagination of people and do what you can do. You stay in the game. You've done such an incredible job in the field of foreign affairs that I think now you're gonna have to just frankly turn your attention and your interest to these domestic affairs. International trade ought to be more fascinating to you, really, from an economic standpoint than the other was from a diplomatic standpoint, because you've got so many more avenues and so many more countries involved. And my God, if you ever get into it, I think you just see how you can maneuver this country and use this country and its strength to get yourself and this country back on the side of the ground, because if we don't, I think we may have another financial crisis. They're trying to create one for you right now. The dollar hits all down low, every European market. And for whatever else you say, the strength of this country, diplomatic and military, as you and I have discussed so many times, is founded on a strong economic base. And we don't have that, we don't have anything. And all of these people who profess to be our friends, the Japanese, they're living this to death. 4 billion trade circles with us is outrageous. Canada with 2 billion circles is outrageous with the advantages they have over us. And nobody's going to do anything but criticize you.
Abroad.
Sir.
Abroad.
That's what I'm talking about. Everything,
yes.
And so I just would hope that you give serious thought to those two areas, because I think the two areas where so much political aid can be made, and you can do it so well and so easily, and the need is going to be so apparent.
Trade and energy,
and I think you'd be fascinated with both of them.
Well, it's necessary to be able to
pull. Yeah, really it is.
Yeah, really it is. But it's good in the energy plant now. Of course, everybody's talking about it in the various studies that they're having about. But I've got to take a look at it in terms of what you were suggesting here. It may be that this idea of the government being getting it has got to be an answer. I just wonder if we can have American companies, as big as they are, competing with each other, running around, and so forth and so on. But without the government stroke, kind of big into it. Japanese are weapon of death, British, and all of
us. The Kings are, I'm sure the Kings are
capable of getting through that.
They have no leverage. They all admit that. They all admit. Sir Eric Drake, Richard Trogan, says to Toby, he said, we're through. He said, time's passed. We have enough leverage, we have the markets, we have the outlets, we have the transportation, we have enough know-how. But so every one of these companies now have acquired the know-how, they've acquired the technology, they understand it, they understand every phase of the business. This shortage now accrued worldwide, and we have no bargaining right now. So we're helpless unless our governments take over. And I think that's basically the attitude of every American company. And so, I just think it's a whole, ballgame. I know it is. And it's going to be one that's going to be very interesting, very fascinating. you've got to maintain the strength of the state. I don't think we should consider this, all of it put together, but from an economic standpoint, we never can slip, because Europe, in my judgment, is in a state of moral decay, not economic decay. They not gonna stand up to anybody, never.
And Japan, not
in 10 years,
and can't
right now. And so we're all up there in this. And our economic strength erodes, then we're in big trouble. And we also do not have to maintain, as you see, the moral balance of Europe. We also have to look to the moral problems in this country. So I'm not referring to old fashioned morality and that sort of thing. There are great forces in this country, forces that are represented basically by a whole new left average who were really very heavily behind government. While they did not prevail, we have to remember that when it comes to the so-called battered people in this country, the intellectual leadership and so forth and so on is far connected. That really is. You have a lot of that, you know, we've talked about before. And thank God there's been a lot of intellectual people in our department, and that's why we're able to survive. The country's pretty dead. There's a lot more moral strength and character in the country than the media would have us believe, or than they would want us to believe. The trouble with so many in the media, basically, is that they talk about the country, that instead of looking out the window of the country, they look in the mirror and they see themselves. And they are the ones, they see the country is all the same. But it's they that are stealing countries, right? And now, I sound having said that about this, when you look at England, when you look at France, when you look at Europe generally, the Nordic countries, they all want to have. Right. There's no character out there. There is no will to resist. Whatever we may think of the goddamn Russians, the Chinese, and their horrible systems, there's a lot of character. Of course, there's a lot of character. That's the thing that worries me about the war. See, I am very concerned about how many missiles the Russians have, as I am, as to how strong their damn backs are. That's right. And, and character is important. And what it is true. We don't push them. Nobody said, in my opinion, when I use these things, I don't care about the interview, but there are going to be some times when the character will be very strongly tested. But which brings us back to this thing, of course, the trade. It means on the trade, then, of course, to move in the other direction. So-called candy around all the rest.
Oh, you're suggesting moving toward a protectionist line.
Well,
are you?
A selective protectionist line.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. It's fundamentally our law for us to permit Japan to ship radios into this country where she absorbs 96% of this market at a time when she will not let us ship any substantial items into Japan. Agricultural, manufacturing, industrial, or otherwise. It's your wrong. When we tried for 20 years to get an insurance company to write a policy there, we haven't done it yet. When they won't let us open banks there in any meaningful way, it's wrong. When they won't let us bring in our citrus until last year and find out they had a beat for anything else you want to talk about, they will not let us in that market. And yet they should have been. Their television, they've got about 80% of the television market in this country today. 96% of radios, tape recorders, tape decks, all this stuff. So, because we love them. And you shut that market to them. Now, I'll guarantee you they'll talk terms to you. It's the only leverage you have. But it's an enormous leverage. But you have to
didn't have trade problems, we wouldn't have any deficits, and we wouldn't be worried about the dollar, and it's true. What happened to the market security yesterday? Then he's gonna say, well, obviously, you can't mix the mess in with all of this. So, this again is the old game, they were separate all. Because they pick us apart. And all I'm saying is, I think the time has come, and it's, you've got a unique opportunity to do it, you conquered the whole, you touched such an incredible job, and the foreign policy for you, and I'll tell you this again. I think again, you throw your critics off base completely into the country of profound service by getting into these two areas, because they're very critical areas. And I think circumstances will force you to do that, I think, within a year and a half, in both areas. I don't think you can help yourself. And all I'm suggesting is to get ahead of the circumstances, get you control that, and so on. And if you do, you have this Congress rocking on a team with you.
Years of age, this is the year for him to return to bed and adapt to all along, and we appreciate that, Frank.
we've got the factories, those Memorial, Prince of Albany, the Saudi, et cetera, et cetera, and I don't know whether they're asking first base about this. He's no expert on art, but he is an expert on governance, on covert activities, et cetera, et cetera. He's now plunging in my request, I said, get into this whole business of the art thing.
Not be back. So your information is signed, I guess, yes, or so. Now, you're not in the audience.
got the Russians, the Chinese, the player was trending gold. We did the whole thing. They started kind of water off to our Vietnam, kind of water off to South Vietnam, because all the enemies were crazy. That's right. They're fighting too long.
Sure.
Now, so he's got the meeting, and he won't be back till the 19th. And I may have to have this meeting before, or if I don't have it before, if I don't have it in California, time's a waste of time. If I'm good to have it out there, but when Henry gets back, that, I think we ought to talk about the Russian people. I can talk to him a little about that. I just see, they're going to see the green lights tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Well, you should go into that. There are foreign policy considerations that I'm not really aware of, and you will have to talk to them and get a feel of my aim was this, frankly, with sure to help the Russians, to burn the hell out of the Chinese, and we have that problem. But as I see it, if what you say is half true, and we'll assume that it's at least half true, we need what the hell the Russians got. No question. Is that what it is? Yes. All right. If that happens, the overwhelming consideration, then it was during the virtue of necessity, right? And to make the Russians, and then it's over. Henry will see that, he will load in too much in terms of the foreign policy consideration. What is this? Are the Chinese there? Are we going to get the Japanese involved? And that's not good, and so forth and so on. We'll get them to handle those things. I mean, we have to weigh those things, but they must not be totally controlling the foreign policy that we consider, but we've got to consider the economic and what we're going to do. So when you talk to bring the secretary out of the can, or talk to them good, and try to implement that too. I think I will delay those discussions about the Russian thing when Henry gets back, and then we might talk about that. But I think we might have a discussion in another part, maybe before the 19th. On the other hand, as far as Helms is concerned, if you could just see him, just mention that it's worthwhile anyway. Obviously, I want him educated, and also, as I say, yield to what we said, and what I frankly use what is facing those guys are all rich out there, they're all credit.
Absolutely. He needs to be changed. We have to shake this deal off. The best thing they ever did was got a hell of a word of assignment. And you could talk to him coldly about the concerns that you and I have discussed.
Yes, sir. He's a tough cookie. everything he does.
And I don't care what anybody says, but this man talked, nothing but that. I tried to get off, I told him about other problems. She wanted to get immediate contact. And four of his advisors, including Prince Fire, who was supposedly going to succeed, they were all sitting there. And he just talked for 1 hour, 45 minutes, and just was really strong against this race. He said, you're worried about communism, it's attacking you and your country. He said, the whole seat of communism, the sign, that's what created communism in the first place. And he said, it's a creature of Zionism. He just went on and on and on. Even the next morning, I was seeing Prince Fahd at his palace, and had about an hour and a half with him, and he almost apologized. He said, well, it's a problem. But he said, let me simply say to you, I'm your friend. I'll be your friend in the United States. We have no common cause with communism whatsoever. Now, it's not in our behalf to ever have any common cause. But he said, let me also say to you that no responsible Arab leader, and certainly no irresponsible Arab leader, can ever condone or accept the status quo of the Israeli situation now. They've got to give us on their territory. This was Prince Fahd. He said, unless they retreat from some of their territory, there can be no acceptable solutions as far as any Arab people's concerned. And he said, of that, I'm sure. And he was a very reasonable guy. And our talk.
Do the morning show tomorrow?
Yes, what do you have? I talked to Chuck, I talked to Bob, I talked to Jimmy. What suggestions do you have for me to do?
Well, I would say this, but I don't know if they're aware of what I'm telling you about. Of course, the subject is still at the present time, it's still Vietnam. And I'd say that I knew there was a lot, but I knew that we paid, I am just 2 months more. Now that's the side of it, can't be told, but I put in through the ring on that local. I'm sure you might remind them that I'm paid, and they carried out to him, which was delivered the day before the inauguration, so he could go off, or they just come up, which is the deal. Okay, anyway. What happened then? Was it on the 15th, after the afternoon? I told Paul, I called the judge and taught him for his ears only. There's been a breakthrough, and that's that we stopped the bombing in North Vietnam because of that Johnson. Well, I know it's not the bombing, I know that means there must have been a breakthrough. He says, thank God, I was first. Henry, then on the 19th, that guy in my instructions sent him the, you know, the highlights of the country. So, it can be said that 2 days, 3 days before he died, that the president, being the president, he knew first that they had met a breakthrough, second, he had seen the substance of the agreement that he would have. Died knowing that peace not only was at hand, but in hand. It's a nice little story. I could have rooted it in Canada or in Canada. But I said, on the other day, they're going to hit you on, of course, is your politics. Let us see, that story that came out and they asked me about today, I was talking on the journey of the parent, what happened to the family. They didn't lose your lunch, lose your name, and she did. Russell's house, who doesn't know anything about the political situation, was asked about indiscriminately. And Rutgers says, well, what do you know about the 76? What about the conflict with your office? This is very funny. So I said, I know the president has always spoken very highly of the Russian and their conflict. But not to say the Russian 76. So a couple of the old Woodward, the listener, went out and wrote a story to the effect that the president had told a visitor to the White House recently that he supported Trump 76, and that was the story that busted yesterday. When they asked me about it, I just laughed. I said, well, I don't care. I said, I spoke to Spanish on lunch, and I said, I have very much regard for the relationship with my father, so I didn't feel that position. But I said, you know, it's premature. I said, my advice to all potential candidates is that between now and 1974, later on, the Democrat or Republican nomination. The best way to get it is what you're running for. The best way to get it is to do everything you can to support the candidates for the House and the Senate and so forth, the Democratic Party. And then the minute after those 74 elections are completed, then who run by the nomination. So that's the way I did it. I said, sometimes successful, sometimes unsuccessful. Not unsuccessful, but unsuccessful. So I like to know that. So the inevitable question is, I think that's what they'll zero in on, because that'll be something big that they will be having you on. And so you can bring in something on Vietnam or something on that. And if I were you, I think it's very important, John, for you not to, and of course, they'll come to the fact, well, questions about registration, about check registration, and so forth. I would think if you could interview Pat Darrell, the reason is that if it is not done, there's not only a, but there's Rock and Roll Hood, and there, in Rock and Roll, there's going to go, I am convinced, Meg, who is apparently going to go home, some say, they need to be just testing the water and so forth. They are, and I know your own feelings. I mean, that you frankly, and I understand this, you don't want to recite it now, you shouldn't. But on the other hand, you, I think, are going to have to face the fact of I got convinced you're going to have to face the come November of 74, when you're going to have to say, well, in order to that you believe in Trump at all. You will be a candidate, you're going to have to be a Republican candidate. done so far, it might be a little thicker. Even the gravel might get the nomination, although I seriously doubt it. Every well is ever. Rock Hard, 6 or 7 years of age. Ray, 6 or 7. That's just damn old in this office.
Well, she got
Hilaire.
States by looking at the United States.